All right. Take your Bible, if you will, this morning to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14, if you would. Exodus chapter 14. And then, you know, after you get your Bible open to Exodus 14, kind of stick your hand there in it, and you're going to think the preacher forgot what he said is where we were going to start. But I really didn't. But then I want you to go to the New Testament, all right? And I want you to look, we're going to look, first of all, at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would. Now, we're going to read several verses in the New Testament, and you may think, yeah, he's forgot everything. But I need you to stay with me this morning, all right? I need you to stay with me till we get into the message, and the introduction serves a purpose, okay? And so that's what we're going to do. And so if you would, with me there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want you to look at verse 51. Verse 51, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. The Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, I want you to notice that. The Bible says, "For the trumpet shall sound. For the trumpet shall sound." Now take your Bible and let's go a little further in the New Testament to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Just take a look here, if you will. In verse 16, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Amen. Notice there it says, talks about the trump of God. The trump of God. Now, if you will, over in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Now, hang on to your place there in Exodus. We will get there, all right? So don't lose that. Revelation chapter 4, if you will. Verse 1. The Bible said, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter." Notice he said, "I heard as it were of a trumpet talking with me." One more verse in the New Testament, Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. Now, don't get weary in turning pages, all right? Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I want you to look with me here, just one verse, verse 31, all right? Verse 31. The Bible says there, notice Matthew 24, verse 31, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." I'm convinced as I can possibly be that the next real event on God's timetable is the trumpet of God is going to sound. I believe that without a doubt. And the Bible, the event that we refer to as the rapture is going to take place. I don't believe anything needs to happen between now and then. I believe that trumpet could sound at any moment. And you said, "Preacher, you really believe it'll be a trumpet?" Yeah, well, that's what the Bible says, right? And I believe everything else the Bible says. So yes, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back for his own, all right? Now, this is not the subject of the message today, but it leads us into that subject, all right, that I want you to see. That next event is the rapture of the saved people. God's coming back. And the Bible said the trumpet's going to sound, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we read there in 1 Corinthians 15, the dead graves will be opened up, and the dead will rise. And then in 1 Thessalonians it says, "We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now I get excited about that. I prayed this morning, "Lord, would you make this year the year you come back? Would you come back this year? Because I believe when that trumpet sounds, every believer is going to instantly be gone.
That's right.
That means if it were to occur in the next maybe hour, it depends on how long it takes me to get through. Now, if it, in the next 30 minutes or so, if that trumpet were to sound, everybody in this building is saved to be taken out of here.
Right.
Now, if you're lost, you've never trusted Christ, your Savior, you'd be here, but you'd be by yourself.
Exactly.
Or there may be, you know, maybe one or two other ones. Now, what would you do? Would you look around one another and say, hey, but we're going to be gone.
Right. Amen.
We're going to be gone.
Yes, sir.
All right, I believe that. Now, every believer ought to be longing to hear that trumpet sound. But here's the question. What about between now and then?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
What about between now and then? Well, let's just mope and hope until it happens. Well, I hope not. I don't believe that's the reason God left us here. What will we do from now until the trumpet sounds? What will we do? Now, I told you. Exodus chapter 14, let's go there. Here's the text for the message this morning, all right? Exodus chapter 14, I want you to look at one verse, all right? One verse here, verse 15. Verse 15, Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward.
Amen.
That they go forward. You said, preacher, what are we going to do till the trumpet sounds? I'll tell you what we need to do. Keep on going.
Yes, sir.
Keep on going. Just keep on going. Come on, preacher. Do you realize what kind of year we've been through? Yeah, I know. But do you realize what was going on in the Israelites and the Hebrews there in Exodus 14? Hey, they had just come out of the land of Israel, of the land of Egypt. They were headed for the promised land. God had told Moses, you lead them out, I'll take them by the way, and he told them where to go, but now they're up against the Red Sea, and here's the Red Sea, they're in need of getting across, and back here, coming up on them rapidly is the Egyptian army to take them back into captivity. Now, I want to remind you, they had no weapons.
Right.
They didn't have a good-sized pea shooter, all right? They didn't have anything. Nothing at all. There was no way for them to defend themselves. There was nothing they could have done to withhold and withstand the attack of the Egyptian army. And in the midst of that, facing the Red Sea, God told Moses, you tell them to go forward.
Amen.
Wait a minute. I hate to object, but that's the Red Sea. We're going to go forward and drown in the Red Sea. And see, the Lord knew what was going to take place. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, you know what took place. God told Moses, you take that rod you've got, and you hold it over the water, and I'll part that Red Sea, and they'll go over on dry land. And they did.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
And they did. But they were like us sitting here going, hey, preacher, you say keep on going. Man, we can't go like we used to good. I mean, we've been hampered. You know what the last year has been like, and we're not sure it's going to get a bit better in the next year, all right? Hey, there's a problem. Well, there's always problems.
Amen.
There will always be problems. The Bible makes it very, very plain, all right, that before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have conditions that are going to get worse and worse.
Yes,
it's not getting better, it's getting worse.
Yes, the
Bible even says men shall wax worse and worse. Anyone who's honest, anyone can see, will have to acknowledge that's exactly what's happening in our world around us. Hey, it's not getting better. Things are getting worse. Here in the United States, I look around, there's many churches that seem to be real large, maybe larger than ever, but with all of that, conditions still get worse.
Yes, sir.
There's more and more problems with people. Those who love the Lord and serve Him, those of us that have determined to follow His Word, hey, we're looked upon today with suspicion and disdain in many cases. We're considered to be on the fringe. Hey, I'm making no bones about it, and if you don't know it, I hope this doesn't scare you, but I don't make any bones about being an independent fundamental Baptist.
Amen. No, sir.
Now, some people, that just alarms them. Oh, you're out there on the fringe. Man, people worry about that, all right? There's something wrong with you. Hey, all of that's true. But I want to say this, till the trumpet sounds. Till the trumpet sounds, we need to keep going. We need to keep going. Let me give you a few specifics. We need to keep going forward. Keep going forward. There's no place in the Christian life for retreating. For retreating. Now, yep, you'll find in the New Testament, there were some times that the Lord told his disciples, now we're going to come apart and rest a while. But he didn't say we're retreating. They may have to rest a while. Hey, but they didn't rest all the time, okay? He said, go forward. Keep going forward. You read over in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible talks about the armor. It talks about the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. And it goes on talking about the armor that God's given to the child of God. But you read it and you look at it carefully, you'll see there's nothing to cover your back. There's nothing there. Why? Because God didn't ever expect us to turn our back and go backwards. He said, keep going forward. Amen. Just keep going forward. Amen. There is an instance in the Civil War where a soldier, actually a fellow, he was a member of the cavalry, he came over a hill, and he suddenly realized, I'm in a mess. Because in front of him was a lot more men from the other side than the side he was on. And he realized, you know, I don't have a chance. He said, what did he do? He stood up in his stirrups, took out his sword, and come on! Truth of the matter is, there was nobody behind him.
Right. Amen.
But the fellows out in front of him didn't know that. They couldn't see over the hill. And so those fellows over there turned around and took off. Hey, listen, God told us to go forward. Go forward. Just keep pressing on, all right? No covering for the back. There's no place for the child of God to park, okay? There is no place for us to park in life. There's no call to quit for the soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not there. It's not there. There is no place, if you will, for retirement. Now, I know I'm preaching to several out here who have officially retired. I'm not preaching against you. I'm not saying you can't retire from the railroad or you can't retire from wherever you work. But I'm saying you don't retire from the Lord's work. You don't retire from being a Christian and serving God. Hey, what does God say? Same thing he said to the people of Israel. Go forward. Man, just keep going forward. There's a mountain to be climbed. There is somebody to win. There's something to be done. Hey, we're to stay after it. Just keep going. When Caleb was 80 years old, he told the people of God, I want that mountain. I want that mountain. He was determined to conquer it. 80 years old. Moses, when he was 80 years old, God called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. 80 years old. Wait a minute. When he was 120, God buried him. Now, he didn't bury him alive, okay? But if you'll notice, he talks about him. It wasn't because he couldn't have gone home. The reason he died is because of his sin. God took him up and let him look over into the promised land, and he got to see where he could have went to, but because of the sin he had committed, God wouldn't let him go, but he was 120 years old, still going forward. Still going forward. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying keep going forward. Keep going forward. Keep going forward in your Christian life. Brother Smart, I believe it was prayed, have the best Christian life, the best Christian life I've ever had, to build it this year. Boy, what's wrong with us deciding to do that? Part of that, you know, we talk about reading the Bible. Read the Bible. Commit yourself to it. Be in church. Be faithful. We'll get to that, all right? Keep going. Keep going forward. Hey, just stay after it. Not only keep going forward, but keep going after. You said after what? I'm glad you asked. Look, if you will, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 in the New Testament. Not only should we keep going forward, we never back up. We don't stop and back up and say, No, I'm on retreat. Don't retreat. Keep going forward. But the Apostle Paul said it this way. He said in Philippians chapter 3, down in verse 14, he said, well, let me read verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Don't you think he had the idea we're going forward? But he said, I'm going after something. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, there's a prize out there and I want to win it. I want that prize. I want to get that prize. That's something that I want to win. Hey, can I say this to you? There's a prize to be won. There's a crown to be gained for you as a child of God. It's available. It's available. Preacher, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. No requirement you be a preacher. You don't have to be an apostle. None of them are around anymore. You don't have to be a missionary. Just a plain old regular Christian that decides there's a crown to be won. Amen. There's a prize that I can get. I'm going after it. I'm going to keep going after the prize. I'm after it. Those fellows that had worked and labored to go to the Olympics. And this last year, the Olympics were postponed. What do you think they did? Well, I'm tired of working out. I'm tired of exercising. I'm tired of practicing. I'm done. No, I'm going to stay after it. I'm going to stay after it. There's a prize out there. There is a prize out there. I'm going. Paul talked about in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, he talked about striving for the mastery. Striving for the mastery. Wait a minute. You said, wait, Paul, wasn't he one of the greatest Christians? Yeah, we look at him and say, one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. Some people say he was the greatest missionary ever lived. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's the man that says, I'm headed forward for the prize. Amen. I'm still going after it. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't already attained it. I haven't got it, but I'm going after it. Going after it. That's what it is. He said, I'm striving for the mastery. Now, let me encourage you, there's no time limit. There's no time limit. You don't say, well, too late. Too late for me. No, it's not. Because, you see, there's no age limit either. No age limit on you attaining the prize. There is nothing there that says you can't do it. You can't plead, well, I'm old. Well, I've noticed I'm getting older every day. Have you noticed that with yourself? Every one of us, we're getting older every day. Amen. People are setting up celebrating birthdays. Right. I was watching some college football, and I got to thinking about college football players. I'm probably watching the grandkids play now of the first guys I watched play college ball. Amen. Crazy. Mm-hmm. Just crazy. I remember being a great fan of a particular high school team and watching this particular fella. He played middle linebacker for the high school team I really liked. Good middle linebacker. Got a college scholarship. Went and played in college. Then he went and played in pro ball. And, man, a few years later, I heard that same last name called. And I go, huh, wonder if it could be. Got to checking it out. Yep, it was the son of the fella that I watched play when he was in high school. And that son's now graduated from college. He said, what are you saying? I'm saying you get older every day, but congratulations, there's no age limit. You don't say, well, it's too late for me to get the prize. No, it's not. No, it's not. There's no age limit. There's no age requirement. You're not too young to start, and you're not too old to keep going, all right? You just stay with it. Preacher, I can't do what I used to could do. Well, you can do what you do now, can't you?
Right.
Keep going after it. Keep going after it. After that prize. Hey, I'm convinced the greatest prize there is to be won is not a crown. It's not a trophy. It's to hear two words.
Amen.
Two words. Well done.
Amen.
Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to tell you something. That's what I want you to hear one day in heaven. I want you to hear God say to you, well done. Well done. I want to hear him say to me, well done. Well done. That's good enough. That's good enough. Man, it doesn't require anything else. The crowns have a way of getting in the way. My kids in school earned a lot of trophies in school. When they got married and left home, they left them. I talked to them about them and said, I don't want them anymore. They were important at one time, but not anymore. They don't mean anything. I've got a little bitty plastic trophy that stands about that high. Plastic's got a piece of paper put in there that tells you what the trophy's for. I got it when I was in the fourth grade. The fourth grade. I've got another trophy that stands about this high, and it's a bowler of all things. A bowler. I won a bowling trophy. You said, how did you do that? Are you that good a bowler? You got to be kidding. See, what it was, I'm a college-educated bowler. College-educated bowler. I went to college, took PE, and one of the PE classes they offered was bowling. I thought, hallelujah, that's held in an air-conditioned building. I'm in, all right? So I took bowling. And the day they started keeping score, I played the most miserable game I've ever bowled in my life, I think. There was more in the gutter than stayed on the lane. But after that, and it wasn't immediately after, but I bowled the best game I've ever bowled in my life. You know what my trophy's for? Most improved bowler. That's me. You know what it means? Nothing. Nothing. Hey, but I want to tell you something. One of these days, I want to hear the Lord say to me, well done. Well done. You know what? That'll be all I need. That'll be all I need. That's all I want. Nothing else matters. Oh, listen, keep going after the prize. Keep going after the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But can I say this to you? We also need to keep going after the lost. There's tons of people in this world that are dying. People dying every day, going into eternity without Christ. That means they breathe their last breath here and their next one's in hell. In torment. In torment. People that you and I maybe could have witnessed to. If nothing else, I had my suit cleaned this last week, so I can't reach in. I haven't restocked it with any tracks. But hey, you know what? You can go back yonder and pick up gospel tracts. Amen. If you say, preacher, I'm so shy I can't talk to anybody, hand them a piece of paper. Amen. Hand them a piece of paper. You can do it with your head ducked if you want to, all right? I don't care. But hand them that. And I'm going to tell you this, you'll find even today most people still take a tract. Most people, not everybody, but most people will. Most people will. You can give them to a tract. You can give a tract to the person down here at Brahms when they hand out your ice cream, when they give you your milkshake. Say, here, man, read that when you get a chance. They'll take it. They'll take it. Over at McDonald's, Wendy's, Jack in the Box, they'll take it. You'll be surprised how many cashiers take it at Walmart. Walmart. I've handed out tracts before at the stock show. Get in the exhibit building there and you stand and people trying to sell you something. I say, hey, let me give you something. They'll usually give it. They'll take it. They'll take it. Hey, leave them where people can find them. I've heard of somebody. I suppose this story's true. I honestly am not sure. But I've heard of somebody going in the men's room. And they're walking along. And anytime they saw feet, they'd throw one. Read that while you're there. Amen. Read that while you're there. Just read that. You said, you got to be kidding. No. No. I'm telling you, we'll do everything we can. We'll keep going after the lost. Yes, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody sitting here, one of these days you're going to die. And you're going to meet the Lord. Are you going to hear him say, sorry, I never knew you? Depart from me into everlasting fire. Hey, that day's coming. People need to get the gospel. They need somebody to tell them. They need somebody to tell them, keep going after the lost. Let me say this to you. Keep going to church. Amen. Keep going to church. Now, I had to include this point because we're living in a day and age. There's those out there who try to tell you that being in the house of God is really not that important. I want to tell you it's just the opposite. Just the opposite. Take your Bible, Hebrews chapter 10, would you? I want you to see what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Here's the great commandment to go to church, all right? Here it is in plain and simple language, all right? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. All right, Hebrews 10, verse 25. Won't you see it, all right? Notice what the Bible says. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. There are some people that forsake it. Some people that forsake it. I know people. People that I knew, people I knew as teenagers, people I worked with as teenagers, they were raised in church, they grew up in church, and now they'll tell you, I just don't think you need to go to church. Where'd you get that brilliant idea? They didn't get it from the Word of God, but notice what the Bible says. I'm not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, but notice this, and so much the more. As you see the day approaching, what day? What day? That day till that trumpet sounds. That day. Hey, we're not to quit going. We're to do it more than we used to do it. We're not to slack off. We're to go to church. Why? Hey, you need to be there. People today think, well, so I'll just have church in my house. I'll tell you, you need more than that. By the way, you can't find justification for that in your Bible. Cannot find justification for that in your Bible. You read Hebrews 10, 25, and you be honest, it says so much the more. That means we go, and we not only go a little bit, we go more than we used to go, all right? We ought to do it more often. The Lord started the church. I didn't start it. No man started the church. Now, if you'll be here next Sunday for Sunday school, we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about it at the beginning of the church. We go to the history of the church. And the doctrines and everything that's involved in it. And, hey, he started the church. You know why? Because he knew you needed it.
Amen.
He knew we needed it. Every believer needs to be in the house of God. Amen. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The command of God is to the believer.
Amen.
It's to the believer. He said, if you're saved, you ought to be in church.
Right.
You ought to be in church. He said, you're not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You're to be there. We need it. Hey, you never get so good that you don't need to take yourself to church. You never get so good that you don't need the fellowship with believers. You need that. It is something that's important. You need to be there. You need to be fed there in the house of God. You need to be challenged in the house of God.
Right.
The preaching of the Word of God is to feed you. The teaching of the Word of God to feed you. But it's also to challenge you. It's to give you a kick in the seat of the pants if that's what you need.
Amen.
It's to give you a pat on the back if that's what you need. But it's there, man. That's where you're going to get it. And it's there where you're given the opportunity to serve the Lord through your church. Through your church. I can do it on my own. Okay, you're going to win people on your own. Where are you going? Who's going to baptize them?
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Who's going to baptize? Come on, let's just be honest. Who are you going to teach them to give to? I knew you'd bring that up. Well, it's biblical.
That's right.
It's biblical. So where's the tithe going to go, all right? What are you going to do with it? Look, I'm just telling you, hey, this is the time to keep going to church.
Amen.
Keep going to church. When it gets dark, you need the light. You need the light. Hey, when you get discouraged, you need some encouragement. You need some encouragement. Hey, man, I don't know what 2021 is going to hold. It doesn't look like it's going to get better real quick. It may get worse. So, preacher, what are you going to do? I'm going to keep on going. That's what I'm going to do. Just keep on going. When? Till the trumpet sounds. I'm going to keep going to church. I'm going to keep going forward. But let me tell you one other thing. I'm going to keep going to the altar.
Amen.
Keep going to the altar. You said, what do you mean, preacher? Hey, the altar in the house of God is the most neglected resource for most Christians. We neglect it. Hey, it's the place to do business with God.
Amen.
It is the place to do business with God. It's the place to come to get right. Get right with God. It is. I don't know how many times I've sat, heard the preaching of the Word of God, got under conviction, and I came forward because I needed to get right with God. There was a problem with me. Hey, it's the place to come to confess your sins. It's the place to come. It's the place to come to repent of those sins. It's the place to come to and forsake that sin. Hey, when you come down the aisle and you kneel here, I'll be honest with you, my old knees won't let me kneel much anymore. I come down the aisle, I sit on the front pew. Why can't I just sit here where I'm at? Why can't you just humble yourself before God? Boy, that's good for us. Just to humble ourselves before God. And I've come forward and I've prayed, said, Lord, here I am. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Now I'm confessing that sin to you. I want you to forgive me. But I didn't come and pray and then get up and take that sin back with me and said, we'll do it again today. No, it's to be forsaken here. It's to be forsaken. I bring it to the Lord. I confess it and I forsake it. I'm done. I'm done. Not going to mess with that anymore. Not going to mess with that anymore. I'm going to give it up. I'm done with it. Hey, listen, that's the place. Can I say this to you? It's the place to go to seek God's help. It's the place to go to seek God's help. Now, I'm not saying to you, you can pray anywhere. Yes, you can. You can pray anywhere. You can pray everywhere. But it's good for us to come and humble ourselves before God and before men and ask for His help. Say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Can I say this to you? I'm glad that usually every service somebody comes to the altar. Not every service, but most of them they do. I just want to say this to you. Everybody that comes to the altar is not confessing sin. Not confessing sin. But some are asking, Lord, need some help. Need some help. Some of them may be praying for you. Praying for you. Praying for loved ones. Hey, I'm going to keep going to the altar. Keep going to the altar. Why? Because it's a place where I can do business with God. It's the place I can meet with Him. You know what? It's a wonderful place just to pray for other people. Lord, there's people in need, and I know they're in need. Would you help them, please? Would you do that? Hey, keep going to the altar. Keep going. My friend, the truth of the matter is that the world today we live in, it is no friend to the Christian. It's no friend to the church. I believe it's getting more difficult all the time to live a real consecrated life. I believe that. There is so much in the world today to pull man away from God. So much in this old world. The truth of the matter is Sundays have become the day of play. The day of play. You'll be able to go home today and watch all manner of basketball games and football games on television. Because Sunday's become the day to play. That's what we expect. It's the day to play. Boy, can I say this to you? Don't allow anything to pull you away from God. Don't allow that to happen. You need to stand firm. You need to say, hey, I'm not pulling out of the race. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Why? I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. Well, what if you get a little discouraged? Then I'll go discouraged, all right? But I'm going to keep going. Well, preacher, what if you get tired? Then I'll go tired. I'll go tired. I want to just ask you a question, all right? How many of you here, don't raise your hand, but how many of you here, back in those days when you were dating, you went on the date you had set up, but you were tired? How many of you called up that girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever and said, I'm not coming, I'm tired? Oh, no, we didn't do that. We showed up. We just showed up tired, all right? But we were there, all right? Hey, let me tell you something. The idea, well, we're going to quit because we're tired. No, just keep going. Just go tired. But if you're tired, just go, all right? Just keep going. If you're sad, just keep going. Keep going. If you're mad, keep going. Keep going. My dad used to say, hey, you can get glad in the same shoes you got mad in. I don't know how many times he told me that. And he said, you can get glad in the same shoes, all right? Hey, This is the day you and I can dedicate ourselves to keep going.
Amen.
Until the trumpet sounds.
Amen.
Until the trumpet sounds. Hey, I'm going to keep living for Christ. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to be deterred. Well, conditions look bad. Okay, I'll just go while it looks bad. Just look bad. Well, it looks like rain. I'll go when it's looking like rain, all right? Just keep going. Keep going. Why? Till the trumpet sounds. Would you do that? Just determine your heart and mind right today. Hey, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going after the prize. I'm going to keep going after the loss. I'm going to keep going to church. I'm going to keep going to the altar because I need God's help. Would you just keep going? Keep going forward. Keep going forward. Don't go back. Go forward. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you today for the Word of God. Lord, would you help us? Because we need your help. Lord, we get discouraged. We get tired. We get sad. We get discouraged. But Lord, that's not an excuse to not keep going. That just means we need to press on for the prize. Yeah, for that prize, Lord, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, would you help us as Christians to determine today, I'm going to keep going until the trumpet sounds. I'm not going to let anything pull me away. I'm going to keep going. I'll just keep going. First, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning, please? Hey, would you just determine, I'm going to keep going. Look, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, this message may have sounded to you like, that's the craziest thing ever heard. But it's because you don't know my Savior. If you knew him, it'd be different. And you can know him. If you just have the courage, step out, walk down the aisle, I'll meet you at the front. Lord, I'd love to save your soul today if you'd come. A Christian, hey, will you keep going? As we sing the invitation, if you need to come, would you come while we sing it this morning?